We'll process the August 13, 2010 edition of the Rin Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the palatial studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network. Yeah, right, what studios? This is the Rin Report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, sweating to the oldies. One of the more popular technical developments in the HF ham world over the past couple of decades has been the evolution of DSP, digital signal processing, by one of those fancy radios with all them bells and whistles on it today, and you're likely to already have DSP in your radio shack. However, for the most part, radios manufactured before the 90s required the external addition of DSP, often in a separate speaker DSP enclosure. So what's the buzz about DSP anyway? One ham who knows his way around digital signal processing is veteran ham radio author and teacher Gordon West, WB6NOA, who hosted a DSP forum at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention back in May.
Okay, lady in red just trying to sneak in, even though she's 30 seconds late. It's all right. Very good. So on the count of three, I'd like to hear your call signs. Ready? One, two, three.
Sugar Lima.
Lima. Who ended with Lima? That's called a tail ender. He waits till we all bust our tubes trying to get out, and then he just drops it in at QRP levels. Good operating. Well, you need that kind of technique these days on the bands. You know, they got BPL and MNOP. They got power line noise, hair dryer next door. We're having to put up with so much noise. Now we got birdies on the band. More and more home electronics all have a running oscillator. Those running oscillators put out what kind of wave? What do you think, sine wave or square waves? Square. Yeah, most of them are square waves. Square waves are always rich in
harmonics.
Man, you did great, huh? And, of course, those harmonics come right on up through the bands. And there's not a lot to take them out. Number one, of course, is our own brain. That's probably the best type of signal processing there is. But there's another kind of signal processing called digital signal processing. And with us today, we have two of the digital signal processing legends. We're going to let each one say about 5 to 7 minutes on why their product is best. Now, notice they got Frank in the middle. He's public safety because they are opposite equipment sellers. But you know, in this ham radio industry, there's so much good stuff that we all just stick together. Even though we sell a different product, we're all one giant team. Just like when you're out there on the airways and you're trying to make out a little bit of the sound of Morse code. And we're going to dial in some sounds here for you in just a moment. So stand by. We'll get the right one in here. See if you can make out the CW. Oh, did you hear that? That is a CW beacon in Hawaii. On the West Coast, we all listen to the CW beacon in Hawaii. Not on 20, not on 15, not on 10 when the band is in, but on 2 meters and 432. Ah, get out of here. West Coast, Hawaii, 2,500 miles, 2 meters, 440. Yep, it's called tropospheric ducting. And to give you a little idea how tropospheric ducting works, you may need the lights on this one, so if you're near a light switch, kill the old light switch. Oh, good job. Keep going. Yeah, yeah, perfect. All right. This is called reflection. You all know reflection. Angle of incidence equal to, I don't know. Anyway, this is reflection. Goes right on through. Every summer, between the west coast of the United States and Hawaii, we get an overline of warm air that overlies cool air. And as we have descending air, anybody know what we call descending air in the presence of a high-pressure system? Oh, lady in red, that's right. We call that subsidence. Good job. And when you squish air, does it get cold or hot? When you pump up that scuba tank or you're pumping up your bicycle tires, it gets hot. And when you have a band of hot air overlying cool ocean air and cool air above it, it becomes what we call an inversion layer. Come to Southern California and you'll see the inversion. It's that band of brown smoke that just sort of hangs there. How many have flown into Los Angeles Airport? Yeah, as you're flying in, you go, oh my God, I'm going to fly into that brown stuff. And as you're right in the middle of that brown stuff, it's not very thick, you see a seagull going by, going, it's about 20 degree warmer in that brown stuff. And here's what happens. When a tropo duct occurs between Southern California and Hawaii, that signal will come in there, and see what happens right there when it's just right. It will carry and carry no matter what the bend is. It can be an upward bend, and it'll carry and carry, and that is called tropospheric ducting. Tropospheric ducting on the 2-meter band is very special because we listened for it as we aimed our beam antennas out toward Hawaii. And when conditions are just right, we begin to hear the sounds of the Hawaiian beacon. And they're not very strong, but we know it's the Hawaiian beacon because it has a whoop at the very end of it. And if you listen carefully, that's the real thing. All good hams listen without squelch. Am I right? How many of you have a radio running all day long, no squelch, just running? Still married? Yeah. The problem with weak signal work or with any hamset that has a squelch control is on single sideband or CW, when you activate the squelch, it's going to take about 100 to 200 microvolts a signal to break the squelch because of the threshold of the squelch circuit. Can't run it all day without the squelch, just listening to background hash. So now we have something called digital signal processing. How many have one of those new fancy Kenwood Yaesu ICOM radios with DSP and the IF? Oh, man. You got it. You don't even need these speakers. You're rolling. You got it. You got it built right in. How many don't have one of those million-dollar radios without DSP? Ah, that's us, yeah. You got a little Olinko or an older Kenwood Tia, and you got a Yaesu FT-101. How many have an FT-101? How many had an FT-101? Yeah, weren't those the days? Tubes? Anyway, with those radios, we need some sort of DSP. And these two manufacturers, John OLO and Graham BHI, have developed digital signal processing. I'm going to let them talk about it, and then we're going to let you actually listen between the two competition radios. And what they've done is they have developed digital signal processing out of the audio frequency section of your radio. Not the IF, which would be better, but you can't stick this in the IF easily. But they now have it on the audio output side. And all you need to do is to plug it in, and we're going to hear how we can improve the sound of this. So it'll sound without the background noise. And when there's no beacon at all, guess what? That sound nearly goes away. So who would like to go first? John, Graham, G before J, let me put you on there. All the way from England, it's Graham. Let's give him a big hand.
You are listening to the thoughts and antics of Gordon West, WB6 NOA. Veteran ham radio writer and teacher who hosted a DSP forum at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention this past May. We'll hear more from Gordo in a moment. This is the RAN Report, celebrating 20 years of producing quality and objective ham radio programming to the stateside ham and ham radio enthusiast. We'll be right back.
Welcome, everybody. I'm going to try and tell you a little bit about the BHI DSP. I think Gordon's sort of trying to set you up for a stage fight between me and John, and there's only going to be one winner. Have you seen him? Basically, you'll decide. BHI DSP noise cancelling, the heart of it. We were founded in 2002. We had an arrangement with Gap Antenna Products, and they sell the range of DSPs under the Hear It brand. There's a speaker and a Hear It inline. We've also developed install modules for FT817 and a whole host of radios. There's install instructions on the website, bhi-limited.com. We then moved on to retrofitting amplified modules for your speaker, you know, 10Tech 101, SP31, and you just basically take the lid off, fit the DSP, full kit, and everything. We've got quite a big diverse range of modules. We've come on to a couple of new DSPs that you can see at the show here, which is a 10-watt RMS DSP noise cancelling speaker with input level control, separate volume, really punchy sound. And we've also got a base station speaker that we've come up with a bit of more richer sound. Now, basic DSP noise cancelling works by looking for speech. And what we do within the heart of the DSP, we can pick out the speech signals. They have a modulated waveform of about 0.6 to 6 hertz. And the DSP algorithms can say, right, I know that speech, I know that's noise, And depending on which filter level, you can, between 1 and 8 levels, maybe 9 dB to 35 dB, we can remove the noise. Now, the BHI DSP looking for speech means sometimes, in the case of CW, if it's maybe 15 words a minute or more, we can do a pretty good job. But the main thing that BHI DSP noise cancelling and hear it noise cancelling does is looking for speech. But it does work very well on certain types of CW. If the CW is too slow and you're really sort of less than 10 words a minute, and I'm sure you guys aren't, but if you are, it almost can try and get rid of the tone at the same time because of how it works. We'll see what the demo does, but I just wanted to make that point. Now, we're always looking for new products. Just to let you know, we have sold some of our modules to commercial companies. We've got a contract with an American manufacturer of cancer treatment machines called Tomotherapy. And we've got a noise-cancelling intercom system that they use for patients to be able to talk to the doctors and nurses, open comms, where they couldn't before because the noise of those machines are so bad, you couldn't hear the patient. We've also got some modules I don't know if I can say this, we sold to NASA. They bought some modules off us. Don't know what they're doing. Seems quite technical.
Okay, give Graham a big hand.
Did you want to do a demo later?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to do a demo. So go ahead and get your demo ready. Big John. John, I was going to say 6 OLO. It's not a 6. 1 OLO.
Good afternoon, everybody. We happened into the DSP market by accident. There was a company you're probably familiar with, Amcom. They used noise cancellation technologies, clear speech module. They had unfortunately fell upon some financial hardships, and we approached noise cancellation technology at that point to pick up the product. Because all of us at West Mountain Radio had Amcom speakers, and we were really happy with them. And we looked at the module and we saw how much more could be done with it. There were actually 5 levels of DSP that were available on the module. We made use of all of them, as well as a really nice 2-watt, actually a nice 2-watt amplifier built onto the module as well. So we took full advantage of all of that, made some changes, especially in the protection of the circuit from RF. We added bypassing, we added some ferrite cores in there to protect it from any RF. As far as the noise cancellation technology process itself, it's a patented algorithm. It's patented by Noise Cancellation Technologies. It's called Clear Speech. We get the boards from Noise Cancellation Technologies. They manufacture ours along with a lot for the government. And I asked one day what the government's doing with the noise cancellation technology boards, and I was told I had no need to know. But it's an absolutely fabulous in my opinion, board. It made it possible for me to operate HF in my truck once again because it actually got rid of some really nasty switching noise that I had from my fuel pump. But at any rate, it absolutely gets rid of white noise, suppresses it at the maximum DSP, suppresses the background white noise 70%. And what I find really useful is the ability of the DSP to notch out heterodynes. So if you end up with a tone in the audio passband, it'll be gone in a matter of seconds. It can handle multiple heterodynes within the audio passband, suppressing them. The one downside I found is if you work a YL. I worked one particular YL in Paraguay who had a very high-pitched voice who talked in a monotone and attempted to filter her out. Doesn't work that well on my wife, unfortunately.
We're going to go ahead and we're going to plug in. John, do you want to be first with your speaker? Let's just see what it does on CW, and then John's got some other stuff. Here's the raw CW. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and roll it through the speaker. Listen to this. Does that make you a believer, huh? Now, CW is one thing. However, just killing the white noise is another. John's got an HT.
This is going to be a polytone test here. This is the standard touchtone we're going to be transmitting.
Okay. Yeah, DSP
off. We're at DSP off.
Oh, I hate that sound. Oh, I got to get rid of that sound. Wow. On, off. On, off. Not just one. Yeah, hear how it grabs it. Do another tone. Takes it about a second. Bingo. That's signal drop. Takes about a second. But if you got a heterodyne, And that's even a two-tone heterodyne. And listen what it does to just plain old white noise. Okay, here we go. Did that noise go away?
So, did you get that amplifier gone?
I've already got five. I don't need another one.
The nice thing about those is they're cheap and they lend well to available.
So, as you can hear, the West Mountain Radio, wow, great DSP. All right, give John a big hand. That's a great demo. Southern California, we have an earthquake tone that just stays steady until we have earthquakes, and we have a lot of them in Southern California. I monitor that tone with DSP on, and when it warbles out of the pass band, it wakes up, and it wakes everybody up, and we run for cover. You don't have that problem out here. You are so lucky. All right, here comes Grant. He's going to come up here with his demo. And by the way, I gave both John and Graham only about a two-hour notice that they were going to be doing this. So they go beyond the call of duty. Graham's going to plug in. The BHI speaker is almost the same size. It is amplified for 10 watts out. West Mountain Radio has a 10-watt speaker and soon to have a 10-watt with DSP speaker. Should have 12 volts. Wow. That's a recording. Yeah, and hear that in between each syllable, there was very, very little white noise at all. And that's one of the beauties of digital signal processing, is to be able to, in between each syllable, kill that white noise. Here's another sound file.
I've got a road here, and I will have a look for that.
There's no DSP.
Find the candle in the index here.
Makes a difference, doesn't it? One more time, Graham. No DSP.
Sometimes, you know,
hear that.
Well, I'll listen, and then...
Thank you. Boy, that's better for the ears, huh? Ladies are all going, yeah, honey, you got to get one of those. All right. Now we go to plain old white noise, and listen to this. Without DSP. And with DSP, and that is full band FM. So it's wide as well. So if you've got a receiver that does not have built-in DSP, you have capabilities of having DSP.
And that was the voice, observations, and enthusiasm of amateur radio's number one cheerleader, Gordon West, WB6NOA. Gordo moderated a forum about DSP, digital signal processing, at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention this past May. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2010. Rain. All rights reserved. Now for everybody at Rain, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you all a very 73 from all of us connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.